Father, thank you for your presence, your word, your power, your purpose. Help us to recognize the privilege we have of being in your body. Thank you again for the spirit of revelation. Speak to us, Lord. Don't challenge us, change us. No entertainment, just transformation is what we want. Change the way we think about ourselves and about life and about others. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher. Do your work, Holy Spirit. You are the teacher. Reveal to us the mind of God. And we will give you all the glory, Father, for teaching us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I am humbled and honored to be back here with my beloved son. And I'm so proud of the work that God is doing through him and his wife. Pastor Godman is one of the emerging leaders of our time. And you are under a good pastor. Give your pastor the biggest hand of the whole day. A man of God. And his wife, of course, is the one who makes him great. So give her a hand too, please. In front of every good man is a great woman. So be happy to be here with them and their two daughters and the son. Just two daughters. I prophesy in Jesus' name. Where did that come from, Lord? I heard that. Next year this time, there shall be a boy in the house. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can name him Miles, too. It means soldier. It means soldier. I am very blessed to be here. You know, I've been coming to Nigeria for years, and it's been a long time since my wife came with me. We were traveling the past 3 weeks, almost 4 weeks now, throughout Africa. We've been to over 7 countries, and this is number 8, and we've been ministering. And we flew up last night with the whole crew, and I'm very happy to say that my wife is here this morning. She loves you so much. Please welcome my darling wife, Ruth Monroe. Please stand up. Give her a hand. She's my girlfriend for 34 years, and we are still on a honeymoon, believe me. There's still honey on the moon. She and I are so blessed to have 2 wonderful children, and our daughter is here. I want her to stand up, please. This is Charissa. Can you come down here, Charissa, and just greet the people? She is the road manager of our ministry. She has 2 master's degrees, very intelligent young lady. And she's also have a master's degree in business administration and also in social work. So she's very well trained to take over my job. She works with us as public relations director and road manager. Very proud of her. And this is her first time ever to Nigeria. She's never been here. So you almost treat her very well, so she can have a good memory, okay, of Nigeria. And yes, okay. And she's not married yet, so, you know, you come and see me, we can work something out, brothers. But please welcome Charissa. Everybody say Charissa.
Good morning, Nigeria. It is a pleasure to be here, finally. He comes to Nigeria every time a year, a couple times a year, and we were never allowed. And but we were finally able to come, and even though it's just for one day, one night, I am pleased to be amongst my people. And just the fact of him coming so often, I know that God has something in store for Nigeria, for you. And today he is going to make you, if you didn't know already, he is going to make sure that you know that you are lions. If we were created in the image and likeness of God, and we are like God, little gods, if he is the lion of Judah, then so are we. And don't believe anything less. And I know if you weren't here this morning, you may have missed the introduction earlier. But on this session, he's going to talk about how once a lion sees an elephant for lunch, now what he does with that lunch is the attitude that he wants you as leaders to have. You never let go. No matter how much the lion shakes, no matter how much the elephant shakes, no matter how much it twists and turns, you stay on and you stick on and you keep pushing until you have actually eaten and swallowed that lunch. So without further ado... But again, thank you very much for your hospitality and your warm welcome.
She was doing so well, wasn't she? Yeah, might as well just go for it. Sitting next to her is her niece, her cousin, sorry, my niece. This is Talia Pinder from the beautiful country of the Bahamas as well. Stand up. Say hello, Talia. Your first impression. She's never been to Nigeria. Make her feel welcome.
Good morning, Nigeria. It's a pleasure to be here. We have been traveling all over Africa for the past 3 weeks, I think it's been. And it's always a pleasure to come somewhere new and meet such wonderful people like your pastor. And thank you so much for welcoming us and making us feel like family and for your hospitality. And I hope that this won't be my last trip to Nigeria.
Thank you, Talia. Would you all like to hear from my wife? That's right. She never spoke, eh? Please welcome Ruth Monroe.
Good morning, Nigeria. This is not my first time, but this is my first time to this church and my first time in a long time. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but thank you so much for your warm hospitality, and I know that God has a word in store for you. But everywhere I go, I like to, you know, let everyone know that Dr. Monroe is who he is because of me. God bless you.
And everybody say, it's over now, goddess. It's over, guys. She is my blessing. Thank God for my wife. We've enjoyed marriage, and really is a great thing to see God have our children working with us as well. We're just humbled and honored about that. I am so impressed by the progress of this church. Every time I come, I see growth. I see development. I see the spirit of excellence. And you are very, very impressive. I take your reputation around the world, tell them how good you're doing. And of course, I hope someday your pastor will make it to the Bahamas so he can share with our people what he's doing here. So your invitation is on the line. Amen. So come and join us in our conference and be a part of what we're doing. Before I get into the final session, I'd like to remind you that of some important books that were sent here. One of the things that I do constantly is, personally myself, I dedicate myself to reading. And people ask me many times, how do you become what you are? And my answer is increasing my knowledge constantly. I am always reading books. I buy at least 4 books a month. I download them on my iPad, and I consider books my best friends next to my wife, because books are the way you study to become what you were born to be, expand your knowledge and your ideas. So just remember to go ahead and pick up some of the material that's available outside. I think they got some special prices for you today. All the books you see on the screen are the ones I recommend to you. So they will be able to help you understand the teaching that I'm working on right now, especially this book called The Spirit of Leadership. And, of course, all the books that are there on leadership are important. I wanted to show you this picture. That's a real lion. When I looked at this, the theme of your conference, I couldn't help but get excited, because lions to me are the most powerful examples of dominion. And we want to talk about that today. Am I brave or what? Yeah, either brave or crazy. You got to be both to be great. But we want to talk tonight, this morning rather. Get your notebooks, please. Take some notes. I want to speak to you about rediscovering the kingdom of kings. Rediscovering the kingdom of kings. This will be one of the most important sessions you've ever attended, because I'm going to share with you who you really are and how to become it. I want to share with you God's original plan for humanity and God's design for you as a human. The Bible is not a religious book. The Bible is not about religion at all. The Bible is about, please write this down, a king. Secondly, the Bible is about a kingdom. Thirdly, the Bible is about a royal family. Fourth, the Bible is about a government. And fifth, the Bible is about colonization. It's about the colonization of a planet by heaven. And sixth, the Bible is about a restoration program. So the Bible has been misunderstood. Do not compare the Bible to the Quran or to the writings of Buddha or to the quotes of Maharaj or to the wise sayings of Confucius. The Bible is not about religion. The Bible is about a king, a kingdom, and his royal family. So I want to focus today on understanding the kingship of God and how you were designed by God not to be subjects in his kingdom, but to be kings in his kingdom. I like this photograph because it is very rare to find a black lion. So that photograph is of me. That's how I look. That's my real picture. I want to focus on the theme of this event, which I note in your brochure has to do with the lion not being afraid of anything. The lion has become my best friend because it is the lion's nature that I researched and I discovered that changed my life. And I want to leave you today with some important principles about how you can discover who you really are and determine to become it. We want to understand your area of dominion. Let's begin with a few thoughts about God's plan. Write this down. God's original purpose was to extend his invisible kingdom of heaven to earth. If someone asks you, what is the summary of God's purpose in the Bible? This is the summary of it. God's idea was to extend his invisible kingdom of heaven to the visible planet Earth. In other words, he wanted to colonize Earth with the kingdom of heaven. His plan was to colonize Earth with his children. So he created the planet first. And he wanted to establish a kingdom or a country of kings. Now, most of us were taught, and of course, Nigeria used to be the colony of a kingdom. You were ruled by a king and a queen for years, Great Britain, just like the Bahamas was ruled by the same kingdom. And if you notice, if you study your history, just go back and read the history of Nigeria, you will find that all the people in Nigeria were never called citizens of Great Britain. You were called subjects. Write the word subjects down, because it does affect your mentality. This is probably why Nigeria is still struggling with effective leadership and effective rulership, because the history is still with you. The word subject, did you write it down? Look at the first syllable. What is it? Sub. Sub means below. This is very serious. So all kingdoms on earth call the people in the kingdoms subjects. That means you are below the class. You are not in the king's category. You are not in Queen Elizabeth's family. You are below. So even the name they give you relegates you to being below them. You are not in their class. God is completely opposite. He is the only kingdom in history, even still today, where all the citizens are not subjects. God's wonderful plan was not to fill his country with subjects, but to fill his country with his offspring. So God made you a country of kings. Now I got to explain this to you, because we think that a king has to rule people. And this is where the Bible becomes very, very challenging. Write this down. You were created to be a dominator, but not over people. Now remember, you are all kings. Kingship is not about ruling people. It's about ruling a domain. So you were designed by God to dominate in an area of gifting. Your gifting then is what you serve to other people. So people are attracted to your gift, and they make you a leader. And therefore, here's what I want you to write down. Your domain is the area of gifting that you were created to dominate the world and influence the world with. Every human being came to earth with at least a primary gift. God did not create anybody empty. Everybody came to earth with something. And that something is needed by all of us. Most people die and never discover their something. So they end up living on a job, dying in a career, and no one remembers them. The plan of God was not for you to be the king over people. He created you to be the king over a gift. And you serve that gift to humanity, your brothers. As a matter of fact, let's take it one step further. Write this down. God's original plan was not a kingdom ruled by a king. His plan was to have a kingdom of kings. This is why God doesn't call himself king of subjects. He calls himself what? King of kings. That's exactly what he means. So everyone in this room is a ruler. And that's what king means. King means one who sets the standards. You know, when you were in grade school, and your mother or father sent you to school, they gave you a book, an exercise book. They gave you maybe a pen or a pencil, and they gave you a piece of wood. You remember that wood? What did you all call it? Say it slow. Ruler. You know why they call it a ruler? Because when you use it, it draws a line. That's why it's called a ruler. A line represents a standard. The minute you draw a line, you create control. You create north and south. That's what ruler means. Ruler means the one who sets the standard, who controls the environment, who determines what happens in the world. That's a ruler. God created you to be the standard setters of the earth. He is the king of kings. So, write this down. God's plan was a new term I want you to get used to, and that is corporate kingship. Say it. That means the next time someone asks you when you go to work tomorrow, who are you people meeting in that place every Sunday? Your answer should be, we are a corporate kingship. They ask you, what do you mean? It means it's the gathering of the kings. Say it. I want you to put a sign up outside the church door. Just a little sign over the door next time from now on. And it simply says, the gathering of the kings. I want you to write a song about that. Because if we don't get that concept, we'll always be oppressed by Nigerian history. We are not subjects. We are a royal priesthood. Sounds familiar? Royal priesthood and a holy nation. We are a nation of royalty, kings. Now, I want to show you how this works. Make a note of this. This is God's greatest plan. God's plan and his purpose was not to create a kingdom with a king, but to create a kingdom of kings. That means everybody in this room are equal, but different. No one on earth is better, greater, more important, and more significant than anyone else. We are all kings, royalty. The Bible says we are sons of God. God is King of the universe. If you are his son, then you are heirs of the throne. So we are all kingdom of kings. Now, that is why I want to talk to you about God's plan. The Bible says, turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 1. Come on, everybody turn there, please. Or you can find it on your iPad. Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse 26. The verse is about you. And here's what the verse says. And God said, let us make man in our own image and our likeness, and let them have what? Dominion over what? Not people, fish, birds, animals, plants in the earth, and things that crawl on the ground. This is important. God says, let them have what? Dominion over fish, It's important to remember that your neighbor doesn't have any scales or fins. Check if your neighbor has leaves or branches. Check if your neighbor has roots growing out of their shoes. Check if your neighbor has feathers or wings. No. Check if your neighbor crawls along the ground like a roach. No. Then that means that the person sitting next to you is not to be dominated. Any form of dominion of a human is ungodly and demonic. This is why God hates oppression, segregation, racism, oppressive spirits, dictatorship, because it goes against the nature of the human spirit. You were created to be the dominator. That's why God gave you his image. The word image means substance. The nature. You got the same character of God. The word likeness means you got the ability to function like God. And what I like about God's statement, he says, let them. Everybody say, let them. Say it loud. A little louder. Shake the roof. Shake the whole building. One more time. I can't hear you. One more time. God says, let them have what? Dominion. He didn't say let some of them, or the smart ones, or the white ones, or the tall ones, or the Asian ones. He says, let who? All of them. The instruction was given to all of us. Same instruction. Have dominion. That means every human being is legally given the right to rule, but not over people. Let me tell you our problem. Our problem is we have been conditioned in our cultures since the fall to turn our dominion on one another. And so the world has been focusing on one group dominating the other group. This is totally out of God's will. We are never supposed to be dominated by any other human, nor are we supposed to dominate another human. There is a war going on in the north of your country. Do you know what it is? One group trying to dominate the other group. All wars are a result of an attempt to dominate. All wars. And that's why they need this teaching very badly. They need to understand that when you oppress another human, you are oppressing yourself. Because all of you are the image of God. Same substance. So if you hate a human, you hate God. The Bible says, no man can say he loves God and hate his brother. For if any man says he loves God and hates his brother, he is a liar, the Bible says. This is why we must stop trying to rule people. We are designed to rule in an area of gifting. God says, I want you to rule fish and birds and trees and animals and things that creep on the ground, never to dominate another human. The word dominion means kingdom rulership. Write it down. It's the word rada in Hebrew, rada. It actually means let them have kingdom rulership over the earth. They are kings. They are rulers. They set my standard on earth. Therefore, a kingdom is the sovereign execution of power over earth. It is exercising your authority. And the first thing God gave man was the kingdom. Let them have what? Rada over the earth. I was showing them in the service before this about three books I want you to get. Because if you read these books, when I see you again, you'll be a different person. Guaranteed. The one is called The Spirit of Leadership. Very important. The second book is called Becoming a Leader. And that's one I want to recommend to you. And the third book is called Understanding Your Area of Authority. I'm showing you this because I'm only with you for a few minutes. You got to shut the TV off. Stop buying chicken and read. Because you are exactly your own ideas that you have accumulated. If you don't change your ideas, you'll never change your life. And that's why I'm here. I'm here to stretch your ideas, because you need to understand that you were created by God to be the governing authority on earth, not over people. People are supposed to be attracted to your gift. You were designed by God to be a ruler, a king, a leader, not a follower. Look at this picture. What do you see? I can't hear you. Sheep. Sheep are the dumbest animals on earth. Why? Because sheep are the only animals on earth without a leader. When you see a flock of sheep, you'll never see a leading sheep. So when someone calls you a sheep, that's not a compliment. It means that you are dumb and you're following anything. Sheep are the only animals who can follow right over a cliff, and those behind them will follow them over the cliff. Sheep are the kind of animals, when they start to eat, they put their heads down and never look up. And they just keep eating. And as they walk, they can fall over a cliff. And the one behind them comes, fall over the cliff. The one behind them, they just keep falling over the cliff. That's why they need a shepherd. No other animal on earth needs a shepherd. Every group of animal has leaders. That's why God says, you become like sheep gone astray. You're following anything, any culture, anyone's ideas, anyone's philosophy. He said, look at you. You're falling over the cliffs of life. You're falling into a ditch. And that's why Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they both fall where? Into the ditch. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to give you a question then. An army of sheep led by a lion, can it defeat an army of lions? Yes. An army of sheep led by a lion can defeat an army of lions if they are led by a sheep. Think about the parable. An army of sheep led by a lion will defeat an army of lions if they are led by a sheep. What is the paradox? It means that the leadership can transform the followership into warriors. The right kind of leader can transform cowards into bold fighters. The right kind of leader can transform depressed people into aggressive people. Leadership is so important, it can transform the mentality and the edge of the followers to become unbeatable. That's why I came here today. I came here today to transform you into the kings you were born to be. The rulers you were designed by God to be. You were not designed just to make a living, pay bills, and die. You were created by God to make a difference in your generation, leave your mark in history, and change the world while you're here. Do you believe that's possible? Then clap your hands one more time. I am here to transform you into the lion, not the sheep. Now, the lion is an amazing creature. There are only two animals that God identified himself with. Only two. The first one is the eagle. And the second one in Scripture is the lion. Both of these are leaders in their kingdoms. The eagle is the king of birds. No bird is greater than the eagle. The eagle has vision 5 miles away. The lion is the second animal God identified himself with. As a matter of fact, in your program, you will see on your card, I guess you call that, you see a quote from the Bible about the lion. God says, I am the lion of Judah. He never says, I'm the dog of Judah, the cat, the elephant, or the giraffe. Why does God call himself the lion of Judah? Why does God call himself, I am like an eagle who will bear you upon my pinions? Why did God identify the two animals? Because he created them. He put in both of them qualities of himself. That's why both of them are dominators. If you want to become successful, study the lion, study the eagle. And that was my secret. For example, let's talk about the lion for a minute before we go. The lion is a strange animal. First of all, he is not the tallest animal in the jungle. The giraffe is 10 times taller than the lion. He's not the strongest animal in the jungle. The elephant can destroy a lion with one stomp. The lion is not the biggest animal in the jungle. The hippopotamus, the hippo, is so big, he is 50 times tonnage than the lion. The lion is not the most intelligent animal in the jungle. The monkey and the elephant are more intelligent than the lion, and yet the lion eats them. You see, the lion destroys all the excuses you had for not being a leader. Tell your neighbor there's hope for you. You don't need to be the tallest, the strongest, the most powerful, the most intelligent to be the leader. This is why I tell people, stop making excuses for being great. The lion cancels every excuse you had because he's still the leader of all the animals. Which means that when the lion shows up, everybody is nervous, everybody is concerned. The elephants become nervous when this little animal shows up. Why? Because the lion has something that makes him the leader. And I want you to write this down, please. The lion is not the tallest, the heaviest, the smartest, nor the greatest. He's a king. And for one reason, write it down, because of attitude. Everybody say attitude. The lion is king because of what? Attitude. Attitude, therefore, is a product of belief. The lion believes some things about himself that changes the way he behaves. So the lion has a strange confidence that makes him dangerous. When he sees any animal, he is not afraid because of his belief system. I want to recommend this book to you. I wish I had three more days here. There's a book out there called, oh, here it is, The Spirit of Leadership. There's a lion on the cover. Read this book, please. I beg you. When I see you next year, you'll be a different human. This is where I spent 13 years working on one book, trying to deal with people's thinking. The belief system is the secret to becoming great. I'm going to repeat this. Your belief system is the key to becoming great. I'm going to say it one more time. Your belief system is the key to becoming great. If you fail, it's because of your belief system. If you succeed, it's because of your belief system. So the lion believes some things about himself. His confidence in his belief system makes him act with confidence and authority. This is the attitude creator. And that's why we deal with your ideas, your belief system. Now, I want to show you something about this strange animal. The difference between a leader and a follower is attitude. Write it down. Attitude is natural. It controls your behavior. It determines your entire future and the course of your life. It opens doors, it creates opportunities, and your attitude also determines your limitations you put on yourself. Your attitude, therefore, is your life. And your attitude comes from your belief. Everybody say belief. Write the word belief down. Let me give you the biblical word for belief in the Greek New Testament. It's the word, write it down, P-I-S. T-I-S. Sounds familiar? It's the name of this building. The word pistis simply means belief. We translate it as faith. Faith means belief. That's all. So this is the belief center. Why does your pastor call this the belief center? Because when you come here, every time the doors are open, there's only one goal in this building. And that is to change your belief. Why? Belief is what? Faith. Jesus said, according to your faith. Not your education. According to your faith. Not your intelligence. According to your faith. What is faith? Come on. Belief. You are right now a victim of your belief. I don't care what you want to become. You are stuck with your belief. You've heard it said over and over again. If you believe you can, you can. If you believe you can't, you can't. This is true. It's all your belief. Now here's the problem. You cannot fake a belief. So this is why people say, you know, I am blessed. They are broke. I am healed. You are sick. And sometimes we confuse presumption with faith. Let me explain belief to you. There is a verse of scripture that I want you to think about. And it's a verse that really talks about attitude and belief system. And you cannot believe beyond your belief system. Now, I'm going through this very quick because I want to show you something. Write down the last statement, please. Philosophy is a product of what? Ideas. Write that down. Come on, young man, write it down. Philosophy means your belief system. Philo means to love. Osophy means to think. Philosophy means to think about your thoughts until you believe them. So your philosophy is your belief system. Your belief system comes from what? Your ideas. Do you know what I am doing right now? I am attacking your ideas. Ideas are thoughts that communicate belief. Those books and CDs and DVDs and pastor's sermons are all simply a collection of ideas. When you buy a book, you buy a chest of ideas. When you read a book, you are collecting ideas and they attack your old ones. You will never change until you are exposed to new ideas. That's why you won't grow. You watch TV too much. TV keeps repeating the same programs all the time. And if you keep watching TV, you become exactly what TV is. Let me show you a verse I want you to remember long as you live. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Write it down. It's written by the wisest man that ever lived. He says, as a man thinketh where? In his heart, so is he. You know, you normally quote that wrong, don't you? Here's what you quote. As a man thinketh, so is he. That is not true. That is not true. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible does not say as a man thinketh, so is he. The Bible says as a man thinketh where? In his heart, so is he. Write the word heart down. The word heart is the most important word in the whole sentence. And we don't even use it. The word heart means... It means sub-mind. Sub-mind. Sub means what? Below. You got two minds in your head. You got a conscious mind and a subconscious mind. Your conscious mind is what you're using right now to listen to me. Your subconscious mind are the things that you decide to believe what I say. You store them in your subconscious mind. So you don't change until the content of your heart changes. Can I give you a little secret? In the Bible, your heart is not in your chest. The word heart in the Bible refers to your head. So when the Bible says, out of the heart the mouth speaks, your chest don't talk, does it? No, it's talking about your mind. He says, what is stored in your subconscious mind is where you live from. How can I define the heart? Write this down. The heart is your hard drive. Your conscious mind is your desktop. That's why I don't believe your conscious mind. It only shows me what you want me to see. Your real life is your hard drive. Now, hard drives contain everything the computer possesses. It determines what the computer can do and not do. It's all on the hard drive. So you never trust the desktop. You are not what you show me. You are what you stored. And you, young man, are a victim of what you've been storing. Where have you been getting your ideas from? That's the question. A hard drive comes like a blank slate. And what do? You download ideas on the hard drive. And whatever you download is what it is. So what you need to do to become successful like the lion is you need to go through a process of reprogramming and even delete some things. I was born in an area of my island where I still live. The poorest village on that island was called Bainstown. That's where I was born. I was born in a wooden house on four big rocks with two bedrooms in the house, one for my mother and father, one for my seven sisters. Imagine seven ladies sleeping on the floor together. The boys had to sleep on the wooden floor, space on the ground that we could find. That's where I grew up. You saw all the people I'm influencing, heads of state, government leaders, training them. I used to sleep with roaches. I used to wake up in the morning with all kinds of blotches on my body. The mosquitoes ate me alive every night. It was so hot. I was stink when I woke up. That's where I was born. And that whole area began to work on my mind. I began to download. This is my life. This is the way it is. I got to accept this. And I almost accepted it. Until I picked up a new program from the manufacturer. It's called the Bible. And I began to download new ideas. And I had to delete my entire culture. I had to stop being even a Bahamian. You will never change until you stop being a Nigerian. Your country and your culture has produced you. That's why you accept corruption as normal. That's why you believe in God, but you still lie and cheat on your invoices. Because you have become a part of the culture's programming. You will never change until you have a complete delete and a reprogramming. My life has changed. And do you know what helped me the most? When I discovered that I am exactly what I store. Some of you will leave here and forget what I say. And when I come back, you're going to be the same person. No progress, same necktie, same dress, same bills, same complaints, same status in life. Because you have not downloaded what I'm saying. The lion is amazing. Look at this lion. I took this photograph myself. This is the spirit of a daring creature surrounded by elephants, and he is not afraid. The elephants are 10 times bigger, 50 times heavier, 80% more intelligent, and 150% more powerful. They can kill the lion. And the lion, look at his eyes, no fear. Why? His philosophy, his belief system. He looks at the elephant with all that power, all that might, all that strength, all that force, all that intelligence. And he simply thinks one word. Clap. Now, this is what you are. You're a lion. Jesus said, I'm the Lion of Judah. Not the elephant. I eat elephants. As the Father sent me, so send I you. You are a lion. Every problem you face is lunch. Every big vision God gave you, big as it is lunch. Say it, lunch. Say it loud. Say it louder. Hit somebody. Tell them it's lunchtime. The lion reduces the elephant in his mind to a meal. This is powerful. You have the same power. You can make anything, anything if you want to in your mind. That's why the lion is the leader. See, this is amazing. He believes that it's lunch so much, he attacks it. I took this photograph myself. No fear. This elephant has seven lions around him. It's over. Why? Leaders at work. Kings at work. The king of the jungle is at work. Tell your neighbor, when I show up, it's over.
It's over.
Clap your hands, all them problems you're facing. Hallelujah. When you go home today, walk out that door, I want you to have a different mentality. Stop calling things problems. Call them elephants. That animal is so dangerous. He jumps on the back of that beast. His belief system changes his behavior, his attitude. And you begin to learn the lesson. Write this down. Leaders don't see through their eyes. They see through their belief. Come on, write it down right now. Go online and post it on Twitter. And put Miles Monroe right next to it. Say it. Leaders don't see with what? Their eyes, but their belief. See, you're not supposed to live by your eyes. Your eyes see the elephant. You live by your belief. You believe it's lunch. Do you know? God wanted to save the world. The whole planet. What did God do? He didn't send 1,000 people. He sent one person. And Jesus came to earth. He looked at the whole earth, the whole globe. He says, I must save you. That's why he's the Lion of Judah. The whole world is the elephant of sin. He says, I'm going to save you. Just me alone. I'm going to have you for lunch. His mentality instructed his behavior. The Bible says we live by what? Faith and not by. Tell your neighbor, close your eyes and see your future. Come on, tell him, close your eyes and see your future. You should never see your future with your eyes. You see it with your faith. Some of you came here today. It's almost December. And you are so depressed. Because you're saying, I had this big dream at the beginning of the year. And it's still not come to pass. That's why God sent me. See, I'm smiling. He come to tell you that you are going to have that elephant for lunch. That lion will come down with that elephant. And let me tell you something how this works, and then I'm going to pray. When a lion sees an elephant, it knows it is lunch. But the lion never attacks alone. The lion always makes a sound when he sees his prey. Strange sound. I saw this with my own eyes. We were in the Zambezi River that flows through Zimbabwe and Zambia up from South Africa. We were there for a whole week on a boat in the river. And we had to sleep on the boat because everything around us was wild animals. And we saw a group of lions attack an elephant. They surrounded the elephant. When the elephant saw the first lion, he was not afraid. Because lions are not afraid of elephants, but elephants are not afraid of a lion by himself. Look at that lion. When the lions and the elephant sees each other, the elephant is not afraid. The elephant knows, I could kill this lion. In other words, your dream is so big, it threatens you. It dares you. Come try and fulfill me. I'll kill you. Now remember, the lion is the leader. What does the lion do? He begins to make a sound. All the way from his belly, you could hear it. Do you know what it is? It's a call. It's a frequency. And only the lions in his pride hear it through the bush. They pick up the sea frequency. And they all come running because they know that one of their lions have seen lunch. But he never attacks it alone. He calls the pride. And when the pride shows up, the elephant knows, I'm in trouble. See, life is not afraid of you by yourself. That's why Satan loves you to believe you can be successful by yourself. The first problem God saw with his creation, the first one, only one problem he saw, one. When God was finished, God saw one problem that he couldn't solve. He says, it is not good. All this stuff I've given this man, all the beautiful nature, all the creation, he says, there's something wrong here. It's not good for this man to try this alone. He cannot dominate this place alone. So this is the greatest example of leadership. Now follow me, please, because I'm about to tell you the secret to your future, to build your new building for 10,000 seats. Listen to me. So the elephant is not afraid, but when the lions show up, the lions are all leaders. Write that down. All lions are leaders. What did I say? I can't hear you. All lions are leaders. Write that down. This is very important. There's no lion in the pride who is not a leader. If you meet a lion, don't ask him whether he's a follower or a leader. He can have you for lunch. Don't debate nothing with a lion. When they see you, you are in trouble. All lions are leaders. Say it. This is important, please. I'm getting ready to go, but listen. This is important. This man is your pastor. He's not better than you. He's not greater than you. He's not more anointed than you. Stop thinking that way. You are all kings. All lions are leaders. Getting at something. But the lion knows he cannot bring the elephant down alone. So he doesn't call other animals to him. See, someone got it over here. See, you don't understand. The lion don't say, I need some bulls to come. I need some giraffes to come help me. They don't call no one else. They call who? Other kings. If we're going to dominate this earth, the lion says, we don't need other animals. We need all kings. Here's my point. The lion doesn't call animals less than himself. The lion calls animals just like himself. That's why they're the king of the jungle. They understand that all of them are equal in value, in power, in gifting, in anointing. The key is someone has to make the sound. Your pastor is making the sound. Look at the lines that are showing up. Look at them. Come on, give yourself a big growl. You are here because somebody made a sound and the frequency you picked it up. And you said, I'm going to that place because we got a big vision to fulfill in Nigeria. We're going to build us a 10,000 seater. We're going to transform the country. We're going to own television programs. We're going to own television stations. We're going to own radio stations. We're going to build schools, universities, and banks. Do you believe that is possible? Somebody scream if you believe it's possible. But he cannot do it alone. You were not brought here just to serve him. You were brought here to bring an elephant down. His job is to show you the elephant. You call it a vision. It's a massive vision. That's a job. And then a second job is to make the sound. Not every lion hears the sound. Only those who are supposed to be with that pride. Tell your neighbor, we're in the right place, at the right time, and it's our time. Clap your hands, all you lions. It's going to be a great future. Listen to me. I want to show you this. Look at this. This elephant. He is now in trouble. Let me tell you how this works. When we saw the lions surround the elephant, first thing the lions did, there were seven elephants. The lions isolated one of them. Write that down. If you're going to be successful, you must isolate your vision. That means you cannot have 10 visions and try to fulfill them. That's why you are failing. You're trying to do everything, so you end up doing nothing. You were not born to do everything. You were not born to help everybody. You were not born to solve every problem. This is why the devil is winning so many battles in people's lives. The devil knows you are too smart to do evil, so he simply gets you to do things you ain't supposed to do. I'm talking about good things. Good can destroy right. Some things are good for you, but not right for you. There are thousands of elephants in the jungle, but the lions isolate one. And they never try to go after more than one. They all focus on one. That's why God says, I am like the Lion of Judah. Focus. They isolate. Secondly, they leap on the back of the elephant. And what they do is they dig their claws in his carcass. And the lions hang on. Now listen to me carefully. This is where it works. The lion hangs on. And the elephant begins to throw them around like wet rag. But they wouldn't let go. Write this down. Persistence makes you heavier. What did I say? Write that down. The lions hang on to the elephant, even though he throws them around like a piece of cloth, because after 30 minutes, I saw the elephant stop and he collapsed because the weight of the lions increased because of persistence. The lions didn't grow any bigger or heavier. The lions simply persisted. Some of you, I tell you, before December, what you've been trying to achieve all year is going to happen before December. Amen. Give God a hand for it's coming down. Persistence. Don't give up now. It's about to fall. I saw the lions bring the elephant down. And when the lions had the elephant on the ground, they just held him down. One of them took the jugular vein and crushed it. And there was the big monster on the ground. It was an amazing picture to see. All of that power on the ground. It was amazing. I've never seen such power. Now, study the picture for a minute, please. Have you noticed something? All the lions are females. Come on, women, smile. In the lion kingdom, the first person to move is the female. They're all females. See, women are dangerous. They always attack first. Clap. Women are not afraid of the size of a problem. That's why when your mother starts praying for you to get saved, you might as well just get saved. Because she ain't going to let go until, you know, that's the way it works. If you want something to work, give it to a woman to pray for. Men get tired praying. Women never get tired praying. They hang on to the beast until it falls. And listen, I want to show you a little secret here now. Write this down. The key to the lion's success is the pride. The key to this ministry is all of you working together. All the departments. As you grow, you're going to need to all get on board and get involved in this ministry. You got to work together. Number two, the pride is the corporate unity for the good of the whole. That means we work together for everyone to eat. The lions bring the elephant down, not for themselves, but for everybody in the pride. Thirdly, unity is the key to success because it also provides generational preservation. When the lions brought the elephant down, I saw something I couldn't believe. The little cubs came out of the bush and ran to the elephant, started eating. In other words, what you do is for the children in that church over there. What you build is for the unborn children that are coming through your loins as your grandchildren. This is the power of the lion. He knows what he's doing. It's not for him. It's for the unborn generation. Leaders never think of themselves. That's why we got poor leaders in Africa. Politicians think of the next election. Leaders think of the next generation. Never confuse a politician with a leader. Very few politicians are leaders. And that's why our countries are under so much stress. We got people ruling us who are not leaders. They are politicians. They think about their next election. Staying in power. They don't think about the next generation. The lions are leaders because they think of the next generation. Then number four, write this down, please. Very important. Leaders do not care who get the credit. Not one of the lions stood up and says, I'm the one that bit him the hardest. I'm the one that crushed the jugular vein. No, no, no. I'm the one that took the leg that brought him down. No one tried to take the credit. They passed him. Pastor Godman, he don't recognize me. I've been working hard in the sound department. I've been working hard in the TV department all these years. He ain't there. Shut up. This is for the whole company. I've been cleaning the building for the last 3 years. No one ever mentions me. I've been, you know, parking cars. No one. What's your problem? This is a big elephant. We all working on the elephant. See, true leaders don't care who gets the credit. They just want the elephant down. Finally, write this down. Lions identify the goal. They never attack alone. They know that they are all leaders. Some of you in this room got more degrees than Pastor Godman. Some of you in this room are older, got more information than this young man. But he understands. He's the sound maker. All must work together. We know we're all leaders. But we got to coordinate. And that's what the leader does to the leaders. And number three. Lions know they will never achieve success alone. And therefore, teamwork is the key to success. Your vision needs people. This is why you should be nice to people. Because the person that you are ignoring may have the money you need for your business. You must be conscious all the time of relationships. Because when leaders work together, nothing is impossible. Do you know why I came to Nigeria this morning? I arrived here last night in our own private jet, of course. I thought I'd let you know that. Because I used to sleep at Roaches, remember? Do you know why I came here? Because I came to help my lion friend. And I came to help all my other lion family to bring the elephant down. We are going to build this vision. This tent is not your permanent home. This place is not your residence. You must see what your pastor sees. This is a small elephant. It's already down. Stand up on your feet. Tell your neighbor, if you are a sheep, go sit somewhere else. Come on, tell them, if you are a sheep, go sit somewhere else. Hold your neighbor's hands, please. Tell your neighbor, I am a lion. I used to be a sheep, but I've been transformed in one morning. Squeeze that claw, squeeze that claw, that claw, squeeze that claw. Now, I'm going to pray for you. Listen carefully. Lions never keep company with any other animal. They only stay with lions. Can I encourage you? Watch your friendships. There are some people you may need to get rid of in your life because they think like sheep. Maybe this morning you need to rededicate yourself to God's will. You were born to do something great. This church is about finding your greatness. I hope this morning you know that your belief system, your belief ideas is the key to your changing your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful spirit that's here. Thank you for the spirit of revelation knowledge. I pray that you would minister to every human here. Transform us, Lord, by the renewing of our minds, that we might know what is your perfect will. Transform every mental sheep thinker into a lion thinker. Remove the fear of being who we are. And I pray that next year this time, everybody shall be different. I prophesy you shall not be the same. And before December, things shall turn around. In Jesus' name, shout amen 3 times. God bless you. I love you. Thank you very much. Give a big hand for your pastor, please. Somebody, let's do it a little more. Let's celebrate the grace of God. I can't hear that applause.